As we've been hearing in our newscast, New Yorkers Against Fracking are having a rally and concert today in Albany. The rally takes place at 4:30 with a concert taking place at The Egg, hosted by Academy Award-winning actress Melissa Leo and Academy Award-nominated actor Mark Ruffalo, and featuring the music of such performers as Dan Zanes, John Sebastian, Joan Osborne, Medeski, Martin & Wood, The Fleece Brothers, and our dear friend, Natalie Merchant. In our ongoing coverage of this issue, we welcome Natalie Merchant, Frack Action Communications Director John Armstrong, and pediatrician and activist Dr. Larissa Durska, who are all taking part in the activities in Albany later today. And it's a great pleasure to welcome you all to the program. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Dr. Alan Chartok is to my immediate right as well. Alan, thanks for sitting in.
Always love to be here. Thanks for inviting me, Joe.
So, Natalie, let us begin with you. You did an event in Binghamton earlier this year.
Back in March, I believe it was.
And then you're doing this event. At what point did this come on your radar?
Well, it's been on my radar for a couple of years, but I felt like I shouldn't get involved until I was well-educated. And I'm really good friends with the Horseflies, a band from Ithaca, New York. And I toured with them 2 years ago. And Judy and Richie are surrounded by leased land. And they are terrified of what might happen to their communities if this happens, if fracking does begin in New York. And they were the beginning of my awareness. And but doing the concert in Binghamton just made me feel the urgency that this what we call a moratorium really isn't that. It's just we're just in a holding pattern until the comments are assessed, and not knowing that there's a real end or beginning, not an end to the moratorium or a beginning to the drilling, made it feel like we're at this tipping point, and we really need to become extremely vocal so that we can support the governor in making his decision to ban fracking in New York.
Joe, perhaps you don't know this, but our Natalie, as we like to call her here at WAMC, went up to visit our Pete at his house, and he did a piece of film for them. Natalie, is it too premature to tell everybody what's on the film?
Might spoil the surprise.
Oh, well.
But Pete Seeger's been extremely involved in this. John, did you see Pete in the... What is it, 2 years ago that he was...
Pete was actually here back in 2010 with Larissa, in fact, when we first got the moratorium passed in a special session of the legislature. And that moratorium was a very important part of the movement and even sent a message that it was heard across the entire country and even the world. It spurred activism and belief that we can stop this destructive process in places like South Africa and helped in other countries as well. And Pete Seeger has really helped in that cause.
But Natalie, for the 10,000 people who might not be there tonight, you won't tell what Pete says?
Can we tell him tomorrow?
Sure. Everyone should definitely see it online soon after the show.
Yeah, we'll put his statement online. Okay. Pete wanted to be with us, but he injured his back recently and it's just not up for it. But it was very powerful going to his house and speaking to him about this. He feels very deeply, as we all do.
Well, and you certainly get that impression. You are, I just want to figure out all of the groups that are involved here, because when you look at the poster, it says New York Against Fracking, and then John, you're with Frack Action. So there are a number of organizations, but they all come together.
Exactly. The New Yorkers Against Fracking is actually a new coalition that has formed this year.
Okay.
So much of the movement existing that's been across the state working on this issue for years and years has come together to bring a unified voice to Albany, to New York City, to the governor, that New Yorkers across the state, a broad base of constituencies from environmentalists to doctors to business owners to ranchers to winery owners, everybody in the state is really out there calling for a ban on fracking. So this broad-based coalition now is composed of over 100 groups from the tip of Long Island to Niagara Falls, coming together with a single message that New Yorkers want a ban on fracking.
I wanted to ask the doctor one question. The guys I've been interviewing, the pro-frackers, have been saying over and over again that there isn't a single case of documented illness or anything else that has happened as a result of the fracking. Could you speak to that?
Sure. There actually are several documented cases of people who've become ill, and those are documented in Michelle Bamberger's and Robert Oswald's paper on health and animal and human health impacts. They've toured and researched areas where gas drilling is occurring, and those people are ill in areas where gas drilling is occurring. They have metabolites in their blood that are related to the gas drilling components that have that are being used. Because, for many reasons, because there are exemptions from a lot of federal regulations, a lot of these pathways have not been determined as yet. But there is a tremendous amount of concern in the health, medical, scientific community, as witnessed at a recent Institute of Medicine conference in Washington. People are concerned in the scientific community.
How long, when we see this present in... when we see it present in children, we see it present in people, how long does that take? I mean, what is the turnaround? Is that immediate?
It depends on what the toxin is. Some toxins would show effects immediately. For example, some of the volatile organic compounds. The air impacts often are seen immediately. For example, respiratory problems and possibly rashes from the air impacts could be seen right away. Water contamination could be immediate or it could be delayed. It depends on what has gotten into the water. For example, arsenic is something that shows up in short order, but the effects can be felt for quite a long time. And if not taken out of the water or if the person's not removed from the toxin, then they'll continue having symptoms and they multiply. Some chemicals like endocrine disruptors are not felt for perhaps generation. So there could be a skip in the generation, and it could be determined that this impact is evident only in the next generation.
What's an endocrine disruptor?
It's a chemical that has an impact on the hormones of the body, for example, on the sex hormones, so they could have some effect on the differentiation, whether it's a boy or a girl, on some of the hormones that affect the sugar metabolism or growth.
And it depends on the makeup. I mean, if it could affect woman A or man A differently than man B and woman B.
That's a very good point, that a lot of the chemicals that we're exposed to in general have different impacts on different people. We all have different susceptibilities.
Natalie, when you look at this issue as a whole, and as you say said early on, you wanted to make sure that you became educated on it. I think a lot of us, obviously, we want to become educated on it. It's confusing. There's a lot of information. And Alan and I were talking about this earlier on the air, where there's a report that says this, and then this report refutes that. Mm-hmm. And then, so in your...
You have to look at who's paying for those reports. That usually
right.
helps.
And that really is what gets down to it. Because
when I found out that the Penn State report, which was responsible for the explanation of the Marcellus and the wealth of resources that were buried in there, that it wasn't it funded by the gas industry?
That's correct. I mean, part of the reason that this is so difficult to understand is that we're dealing with a very skillfully orchestrated propaganda campaign from the gas industry. They've outspent those of us who have raised concerns 100, 1,000, or even more to one. So we have to try and break through this incredible wall of misinformation and really deceit that the gas industry has put out there. When you turn on the TV and you see these colorful ads from Exxon or the Independent Oil and Gas Association that promise clean energy, safe drilling, those are all false.
And I'm looking at anecdotal evidence. When you talk to people who live in the communities in Susquehanna and in Bradford, Pennsylvania, our nearest neighbors, and they tell us how their communities have been totally destroyed by truck traffic, by fighting between people who've leased and haven't leased, by people having their water supplies contaminated, and disturbances over how their water is going to be replaced, whether it's through municipal systems that are put in and paid for through tax money, or whether it's going to be through holding the gas companies accountable. It's, I mean, that's not even taking into consideration what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Chemical.
And then you have to look at some of the concerns that we've seen raised by the EPA, the CDC, many of the U.S. Geological Survey, for instance. Many leading government agencies have raised significant concerns about drilling in New York. But you also have to look at what is the makeup of this. Oftentimes you'll hear that it's just a very small amount of chemicals. It's mostly just water and sand. But take benzene, for instance. Mm. This is not a chemical that you want to have anything to do with. The EPA wants the benzene level in water to be zero, absolute zero. Industry data and concern from New York State shows that the amount of benzene that ends up from one fracturing process is enough to contaminate 100 billion gallons of clean water. That's 10 times the amount of water that New Yorkers drink every day, and that's from one fracture.
And that's the risk. I mean, that's if it gets into the water supply.
Exactly.
We had a question earlier this morning, which was, why is the benzene needed?
Larissa may be able to speak to this more, but mostly, it's not well understood what is underground. We're going down over a mile and out horizontally in this ancient shale bed. It's made up of these volatile organic compounds. They're actually living bacteria down there. But part of it's to lubricate the drilling hole, so to speak. And Larissa, jump in here if you want. But to lubricate the drilling hole and then to actually kill some of this living material that is down there.
Okay.
Right. So it seems like there's input into the ground, and usually it's not supposed to actually get into the ground. So there's benzene used in the process, but there's also some organic compounds that come up from way down in the depths of the earth. So it can appear, volatile organic compounds can appear as contaminants coming up from the earth as well. So it's a mixed thing. So even if you don't use the benzene, you'll get some other compound coming from the depths of the earth that could be toxic. For example, radiologicals, heavy metals, and extremely salty brine. So, you know, it's not just what you put in, it's what you get out.
You know, I think of like going to Yellowstone, and you go to Yellowstone Park and you see these various places where there are pools of stuff and it's bubbling up and it's coming up from the earth. And you realize what's down below that we don't see and we don't have access to. And it seems, and please excuse my language here, but it seems like by doing something like this, you can piss off the earth.
You raise an excellent point there, and you say that in Yellowstone, you see it coming up.
Right.
That's the same thing that happens when we frack. It comes back up. It has to be dealt with. And then to go back to the benzene, for instance, right? The industry wants to tell us that it's never going to come to our drinking water, but the cement casings is all that's protecting our groundwater from this. Those fail over time.
Well, look at our crumbling infrastructure. Look at any bridge
exactly.
coming up and Route 87.
Well, I mean, besides the science, besides the question of concerns, I bring up the issue of going down and going a mile down. Of we don't know really what is going to happen.
Well, the
ultimately.
Earth was uninhabitable. For human beings at the time that layer was formed.
Right.
Right?
We don't know what's going to happen exactly, but a lot of science and research is going into that, and it raises enormous concerns.
I wanted to ask you guys about the water. In my conversations with the pro-frackers, the question becomes, you take that water out, they're now saying, well, we're going to continue to use it around and around, so therefore you don't have to worry about it. But they will also tell you they got to retain it in some place. Now, there's been enough activism to the point where they're saying what we used to think we could do is make these pools and is no longer allowable.
Yeah, the open pits.
Yeah, the open pits. So right there we see that sometimes what we anticipated turns out to have been wrong and wrong thinking. Now they're talking about, you know, casements or you know, metals to contain it. What say you about that?
The industry has desperately tried to figure out something to do with this highly toxic wastewater. Like you said, they used to store it in open ponds that would then leak into our surface water and our farms. They've tried to inject it deep underground in Ohio, which has caused many earthquakes. They've put it through public wastewater treatment plants, which has yielded radioactive streams. The city of Pittsburgh, for instance, had to drink bottled water for 3 weeks, recommended by the city, for 3 weeks bottled water, because the drinking water supply was so radioactive as a result of the wastewater from fracking. The bottom line here is there's no solution to the wastewater. You have this extraordinarily dangerous water with no plan of where to put it.
I was going to ask the question of, we are looking at, for you as a consortium, for you as a group, to abolish this practice. You don't see a way of doing this safely.
That is correct. It's also, it's not safe and it's not the right choice. New York State, we don't want this in New York State. There's no way that this can be done safely. There's no indication, and there's no way that it benefits our state. What we would actually like to see is for Governor Cuomo to seize an opportunity in the state to come with us. We're here to support the governor, to become a national leader and even an international leader in clean energy. Go and support our long-term industry, our agriculture, and bring in a source of jobs in New York State that will be here for generations to come without sacrificing our health.
So I have a theory. And my theory is that the governor is running for president, that he wants to be able to say when he runs that he helped solve the energy crisis in New York by bringing on the fracking. And you're suggesting something else. You can say to him, no, you can really make that claim, but by doing something else.
Exactly. He can truly be a leader by bringing in untold numbers of jobs, many more with clean energy sources, renewables, that this state actually is pretty well suited to.
What have we learned about the political climate in Pennsylvania and elsewhere where this has already become a reality and we're seeing the effects?
We've seen some very malicious practices by the industry. Unfortunately, with the industry comes this tremendous amount of money spent on lobbying and campaign contributions that has resulted in many cases in the red carpet being rolled out for the industry, whereby the regulations are almost non-existent, safety precautions are disregarded, it's not tracked, and they basically have free rein. And with free rein, this industry comes in and absolutely ravages communities.
So we don't see any politicians who were on the bandwagon who have seen the effects and have backed off and said, we shouldn't have done that.
Oh, I think we certainly have seen some of those, especially at the local level. For instance, we've seen politicians in Texas have to actually move out of their towns. The mayor of Dish, Texas, for instance, the air quality was so bad, he ended up leaving the town because of fracking. And then the community impacts are also really unfortunate. We see where this comes into towns, you see a few short-term jobs, the hotels and the restaurants do okay, but you see steep increase in crime. The truck traffic and accidents resulting from those trucks are disastrous, and the emergency medical services are completely overburdened by the number of accidents and toxic issues that they have to deal with that they're really generally not suited to deal with.
Yeah, and the community level is the level at which there's been political support for home rule. They've seen that they can try to ban the practice or at least resort to some zoning practices. And this is in Pennsylvania. Zoning is a possibility. And so several municipalities have joined together in a lawsuit. And as you know, in New York State, we have the possibility of home rule. We are a home rule state. And the town where I live, Bethel, has banned gas drilling because we're not certain that the state is at a point where it can protect us. And so we're doing this at our town level. And communities are taking responsibility for themselves, for their own health and welfare, because we haven't seen that happen at the state level.
Are you guys disappointed in the polling that Joe's talked about, in which, you know, it's sort of half and half? There's a big job to be done there, isn't there?
There is a big job to be done there. And
especially with that undecided.
Those polls speak to the fact that we've been outspent by 100 or 1,000 to 1. We've seen all these beautiful ads on TV from the other side that have spreaded propaganda and misinformation. Once people learn more about this, we've seen decisively that they are against it when they actually realize what it means for their communities. And it it hasn't really been going on in New York, so people haven't seen it. But as we've seen more awareness, those polls have been shifting in our favor. And now as we're coming together in this coalition, more resources are coming into this, we are actually building a tremendous amount of momentum in getting the truth out there. And I think we're going to see those polls shift much farther in our favor.
Natalie, it seems as though with this consortium, with this particular event, that at least the message is very clear. It's very focused on New York and what you want to get out of it, mm-hmm. in the sense of the governor and his decision.
Mm-hmm. That's the goal.
And
that we're focused on.
And it's important to keep that focus.
Well, we needed to be galvanized around one particular aim, because there are so many different aspects of this. But
right.
if we can keep it out of the state, it's a Pandora's box that we just can't afford to open.
Natalie, I asked.
We have to protect our critical resources.
I asked Mark Ruffalo yesterday whether he had attempted to talk to the governor about this. Mm-hmm. He said he had attempted to, but there had not been a return phone call. Mm-hmm. I guess I want to ask you the same question. I mean, you're a major voice, and I
have not, because I, you know, just sitting next to John and Larissa, I'm not up to the task of being able. I'm not as well informed, and I'm not as well spoken, and I leave that up to the people who are. I'll leave it up to the PhDs to talk to the governor about, you know, to present compelling evidence right. that this is, you know, I can say fracking, dangerous, I don't want it, but
now,
I can't go to the depths.
Ultimately, Alan, this is the governor's decision, and part of what we're doing tonight is we're opening up the space for the governor to join us and ban this process. We're with him. We want to support him. But we're also using this. It's more than just a concert. We're using it to present much of the science and the facts on this issue. He has said he wants to base this decision on the facts. Unfortunately, in the DEC's review, it has missed many of the key facts, disregarded some of the most conclusive evidence showing that this can't be done safely. And we want to make sure that the governor really does base this decision on the facts of this issue.
Before we take a short break, and then Natalie is going to sing for us, which we can't wait for. But I do want to ask you about just some of the logistics of the event. You were going to be on the West Lawn, and it's raining, so do you move it inside then?
We are going to move it right inside of the Capitol at 4:30. We're going to all converge in the $1 million staircase.
That seems more exciting, actually.
It's right, you know,
maybe
right.
Besides that, you're dry.
Right in the Capitol. We'll be dry. We'll be making noise. We'll be singing. And it's going to be extraordinarily powerful. Everyone who's in this region should definitely come out at 4:30.
Excellent. I want to...
And what time is the concert itself?
The concert's at 7 o'clock, and the rally is at 4:30, correct?
That is correct.
Excellent. You can find out more information about all of this by going to the website, which is nyagainstfracking.org, nyagainstfracking.org. Frack Action Communications Director John Armstrong, Dr. Larissa Durska, and of course, Natalie Merchant joining us this morning. Thank you all very, very much for all your hard work, and I thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break, and we're going to return, and Natalie is going to perform for us in a preview of the event tonight at 7 o'clock. Again, nyagainstfracking.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. I feel blessed when you see Natalie Merchant walk through the door at the station, and then you feel even more blessed when you see that she's brought a guitar player with her. And you're like, we've hit the lottery. Gabriel Gordon is here, and Natalie Merchant is with us. As we've been mentioning, Natalie is going to be appearing at a benefit concert in Albany, New York at the Egg in support of a ban on the use of hydraulic fracturing. And it is an event put on by New Yorkers Against Fracking, and you can find out more information by going to nyagainstfracking.org. And what a lineup, Natalie. Man.
It's pretty extraordinary. And you should have seen the list of people that couldn't make it but wanted to be there. It was extraordinary.
Yeah, I do want to see that list. Yeah. That's really fun.
It was huge.
So
it included David Bowie and David Byrne.
Wow.
And, you know, Saren Jones and the Dap Kings, and everybody that we invited said they wanted to be there. It was just so short. The urgent nature of it prevented a lot of people from moving their schedules around.
So who did you end up with?
We ended up with Michel Indigicello. We have the Horseflies from Ithaca, from Ground Zero, basically. I wish I had the list in front of me. Well, Mark and Melissa. We have, help me out, Gabe.
Mark Anthony Thompson.
Mark Anthony Thompson. We have Joan Osborne, Mariski Martin and Wood, Dan Zanes. It's a really John, John Sebastian. It's an unusual grouping of people. The thing that we made certain that everyone that was invited had a long time association with New York. Mm. I said you have to have lived in New York a long time, and it preferably be registered voter here, because this is you are speaking as a citizen of this community.
Have you written about this? Have you written a song about this?
Actually, I have. Very good segue. Did you know that
Well, I knew that you had written a song. I knew that you had written a song. Was it called Texas?
Mm-hmm.
And is that the song you're performing?
Yes,
it is. That I did not know. But so that's really cool. And yes, an excellent song.
The other thing I requested is that people either perform material of their own that was relevant lyrically, or we secured gratis licenses from a lot of prominent songwriters like Paul Simon, David Byrne, R.E.M. I called Michael Stipe, and he couldn't be there. He's had an apartment in New York City for, I don't know, 20 years. And he's out of the country, but I said, could we use one of your songs? So we'll be performing one of their songs. Paul Simon responded immediately.
That's wonderful.
You know, he couldn't be there, but when I asked, could we do one of your songs, he said, of course.
How long have you been working on the song that you've written?
It's been in the works for a couple of years, but it's about unbridled greed, and it's about oil drilling, but I could play for you. I don't like to talk about what my songs are about.
I understand.
But it's very, very appropriate. So the other thing that makes our show unusual, this concert event unusual, is that it's a multimedia event. The songs will be alternating with speeches and with slideshows and film. And if you're talking about evidence of methane migration, I mean, everyone is becoming familiar with that image of people starting their taps on fire in their kitchens. But have people seen people drawing the brown water from their own wells? It's really disturbing. I mean, when I was in Binghamton, Craig and Julie Santner, who have become sort of heroes of Dimmock because of their outspokenness, handed me a gallon jug of their tap water, and I wouldn't even dump it in my front yard. You know, I would do nothing with that water.
Mm.
And they said, this is 3 years. This is what we pull out of our tap. So anyway, we'll have film footage, and we're filming the entire event. Alex Gibney, who's a two-time Academy Award-winning documentarian who made Enron, Smartest Guys in the Room,
right,
and Client 9, The Rise and Fall of Elliot Spitzer, and Taxi to the Dark Side. He's a phenomenal filmmaker. His sister actually lives in Sullivan County, and he lives in Manhattan, but he's very aware of the issue because of the struggle his sister's having, and so he offered to send a 6-camera crew to film the event. So
that's,
we're
marvelous,
excited about that, because it's a small venue, but we didn't want to do a big concert outside. We wanted to do something intimate that we could film and then broadcast in our own way, probably on the net for free.
Now, we're multimedia too. Do you mind if, while you're performing, we take pictures? If not, we can do it later.
As long as it's not very loud.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it won't be. And if it is, let us know and we'll stop. We would love to hear you. And this is Texas,
mm-hmm,
that you're performing. And Gabriel Gordon is the guitarist. And you've been with Natalie forever, haven't you?
Pretty much.
12
yeah.
years.
Wow. That's a long time.
Going on 13.
Excellent. I turn it over to you.
Gonna get what's mine. And wild horses couldn't take it from me. Papa says that I'm a golden child, and the whole world's gonna fall at my feet. It's all coming to me. Going down picking when it's harvest time. Gonna get my share, gonna get what's mine for me.
sun is a-blazing down, but I don't mind. I'm picking, I'm digging, it's harvest time for me. When I get my little light on it, when I get my little mind on it, you best believe. Oh, my, 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 it's all coming to me. Oh, sweet tooth aching in my head, gonna fill my belly to the brim, oh, yes, indeed. Hive is a buzzing in the hollow tree, and I don't care if I gotta kill a little honeybee. When I get my little light on it, when I get my little mind on it, you best believe. Oh, my, 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 it's all coming to me. Gonna get what's mine, and wild, wild horses couldn't take it from me. Papa says that I'm a golden child, and the whole world's gonna fall at my feet. It's all coming to me. Pumping and a sucking till the well is dry. Nobody's booming in these busted times like me. Down in Texas where the cattle don't roam, oil is a dripping and the savings and loan, they bleed. When I get my little light on it, when I get my little mind on it, you best believe. Oh, my, 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 it's all coming to me. It's all coming to me.
Man. Wow. That's beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. Haunting. That was Texas. Natalie Merchant performing with Gabriel Gordon. And again, Natalie is going to be one of a...
One of 30
musicians who are going to take the stage at the Egg
Rehearsal
tonight.
Last night was pretty crazy.
I bet. Have you got it in like under 5 hours, 4 hours?
At my daughter's school, they have a way of very politely telling everyone to shut up and listen. And they say, "Ago," and the kids have to say, "Ame." And then it's silent, and I tried that yesterday, and that didn't even work.
Natalie, it is a great thrill to have you here, and thanks so much for performing and for being such a wonderful friend to us, and we wish you all the luck in the world.
Well, thank you for keeping us informed and giving all sides.
That's a great pleasure. Thank you very much. Speaking of all sides, a reminder that we will present another viewpoint on the issue later on in this program at 11:30. We will welcome the Chief Legal Officer of Norse Energy, Dennis Holbrook, and later on today we'll present a 1 hour at the normal Voxbach time at 2 o'clock that Alan will host. And Alan also did the interview with Dennis Holbrook, and stay tuned for that. If you want to find out more information about the event this afternoon, the rally, and the event tonight at the Egg, which is sold out, but hey, give it a shot, nyagainstfracking.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.